And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
The entire collection of Veep Thoughts is up at veepthoughts.com. Of course, also up on our YouTube page, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. A couple things you're going to want to know about there. Number one, new comedy bit out now about very, very old and ancient candidates and how they come about. I think you'll enjoy that quite a bit. youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Same place you can go. Follow the page. Click the bell for notifications because we're going to be going live tonight after the Tim Walz speech. I think that's when I'll go, probably right around the end of the Tim Walz speech to go over what was said. There's a bunch of stuff going on tonight at the convention, and we'll be covering for you live, taking your questions and talking to you late into the night. That's at least what happened with the Joe Biden speech the other day. We will see how it goes tonight. Glenn Beck is going to be here in a minute to explain how we can defeat the globalists in November. Joe Biden is still very involved in our nuclear policy. So there's a happy Wednesday thought. But we're going to start by doing the dishonesty convention. You know, Jamie Raskin the other day called it the democracy convention, which is patently absurd. The candidate they're nominating got zero votes. You can't be the democracy convention. But this is the dishonesty convention. It's a little bit different. Basically, a lot of people gather, thousands of people in an arena, and they all say things that are false. That's basically the concept here and the ongoing plan that's inside the convention. Now, outside the convention, it's a little bit different. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators now charged police lines outside of the Israeli consulate in Chicago. They just, you know, not big fans of Jews. I don't know if anyone's noticed that with today's modern Democratic Party. Seems to be where they stand on the issue. A little bit too much pro-Hamas in the recipe. A little dash too much. And that's affecting the campaign and convention situation outside the arena. But inside the arena, oh, it was wonderful last night. I hope you saw it. Obama night. We had Biden night day one, Obama night day two at the DNC. Barack and Michelle Rouse crowd in favor of Kamala Harris. So exciting, so wonderful. Everyone loves Michelle Obama. Never been a person who didn't like her. She's perfect in every way. Have you seen those arms? They're the arms of a Greek god. That's what you need to know. Nothing about her terrible policies or anything like that. Now, you'll be surprised to hear that Daniel Dale over at CNN did fact check this speech and point out a couple of actual missteps by the presenters. Now, this was not exactly as thorough as you would like. It only touched on a couple of different points. First of all, Democrats on Trump and Project 2025, various Democratic National Convention speakers invoked Project 2025, saying or hinting that the project is President Donald Trump's own agenda. Now, it kind of goes through and links to a bunch of sources here. It's not the sort of fact check Donald Trump would get when he made a blatantly false claim. But can we set the Project 2025 thing aside? First of all, there are some really good things in Project 2025. We haven't gone too much in depth on it. The main reason for that is it's just a think tank idea. Heritage Foundation, God bless them, going out there doing yeoman's work, trying to put together a legislative plan and a executive branch plan for what would happen if Donald Trump were to win. That is what think tanks do. They do this all the time. You know, every think tank comes up with a plan of the things that they would like to do if they were to win. And then they go to the administration. They say, how about this idea? How about this idea? How about this idea? And the administration typically says to about half the stuff, I don't like that. The other half, that sounds pretty interesting. And about 20% of it, maybe they actually try to get through, and about 1% of it actually gets through. That's how this works. It happens all the time. It's not a knock on Heritage or Project 2025. There's some really good stuff in there. But to be clear, this is not Donald Trump's think tank. There are a lot of America First think tanks out there. The Claremont Institute comes to mind. There are a couple of others that kind of have really tried to synthesize Donald Trump's plans into more policy-based white paper type stuff. And you know, the Heritage Foundation is been around for a long time, very closely aligned to the Reagan presidency from back in the day, and you know, have had influence over over every Republican administration since at some level, but they're not closely tied to Donald Trump per se. They have come a long way toward that direction, but really they're not even part of the campaign or really that closely aligned with Donald Trump. There are some people from the past Trump administration that are associated with Project 2025, but I mean, we don't need to go this far. At the end of the day, Donald Trump has come out and said he doesn't really like it. In fact, he wants it to go away. They basically dismantled the team after he said that because Donald Trump looked at it and said, well, it's not really for me. So it's nonsense to be bringing it up this often. It's just nonsense, but they keep doing it over and over and over again. That's not exactly how Daniel Dale put it, but you get the thrust of it is there. A couple of other things I thought were interesting from the fact check. Sanders said, remember when we were 3.5 years ago, we were in the midst of a worst public health crisis in 100 years and the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. Unemployment was soaring. That was the reality when Biden-Harris took over. Well, of course, we all know that, of course, it did soar to 14.8% right after the March and April 2020. It soared very, very high. This is when Donald Trump is in. Of course, it had been almost entirely recovered from by the time Trump left office. But he left office, it was down to 6.4 already. So it had gone from 4% up to 14.8, had all the way come down to 6.4%. All the hard work was already done by the time Joe Biden took office. A couple of other ones in here that I wanted to highlight to you. This one's interesting from Sanders as well. He said that they cut childhood poverty by over 40% through an expanded child tax credit. Now, this is always a fascinating claim by Democrats. Like, they basically are saying if we give people enough money, they will no longer be poor. And at some level, that's accurate, right? Like, if you gave everybody $1 million, there'd be no one who wasn't a millionaire, right? Like, that's by definition true. Of course, you destroy the economy in the midst of that and, I don't know, create a lot of inflation. Well, this is what happened with the Biden administration. It is true, statistically at least, they gave a bunch of money, bunch of free money to families across the country, and the childhood poverty rate did drop from 9.7% to 5.2%. And that's what he's bragging about. Of course, what he doesn't tell you is the next year, when all that free money dried up, it went back up to 12.4%, higher than when they started. So that's kind of just a blatant lie. Now, of course, Sanders is, to be fair to Sanders, he is of the mindset that we should just give everybody millions of dollars. So I don't know. Maybe he thinks you could just do that until infinity. He's very much sort of a modern monetary theory type. But nobody really believes that's a legitimate proposal. Now, I don't know. There are a lot of Democrats out there that sound like communists these days. Maybe some of them do. Maybe Michelle Obama does. She was the star of the evening, as she always is. Of any evening, she is present. Because look at those arms. They're incredible. And the speech was incredible. Let me give you a quick taste of it.
Most of us will never be afforded the grace of failing forward. We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth.
Oh, is that what it is? That's the affirmative action. Interesting. She actually does support affirmative action, but she's going to bash generational wealth.
If we bankrupt a business or choke in a crisis, we don't get a second, third, or fourth chance.
You guys got a second term.
If things don't go our way, we don't have the luxury of whining or cheating others to get further ahead. No.
Who the hell is we? How are you involved in we?
We don't get to change the rules so we always win. If we
see a problem exactly what you
did. Us, we don't expect there to be an escalator waiting to take us to the top.
She got a little sassy there. Did you see the sass? That's when you know she's really going.
Put our heads down.
Oh, good God, this is agonizing.
We get to work. In America, we do something.
Now, she blatantly won the Democrats blatantly won the 2020 election. A lot of people will say fraud. You know, I don't think that's what happened there. What happened there is before the election started, they changed a bunch of rules to expand voting to lots and lots of people who never would have voted because they're mailing the ballots. They changed a bunch of rules. And because of that, they were able to slightly win the White House in 2020. So they did change the rules to win. That is exactly what they did. And this we idea, I don't know, Ms. Billionaire, certainly seems like generational wealth. itself is part of your plan. And look, I don't think that's a bad plan, by the way. I'm going to tell you, I don't think that's a bad plan at all. What the hell is wrong with generational wealth? I think generational wealth is a great goal to aspire to. In fact, it's one you should aspire to. It's why I come to work every day, to try to create it. I don't come here because I like hearing myself talk as much as you might think I do. I come here to try to build, obviously to get to what I believe is the truth out and things that are important, but also because I want to get money and I want to get paid and I want to get my kids, hopefully a head start, because I like my kids. I want them to have a head start in life. I want them. Generational wealth sounds great. Where do I sign up? Over and over again, we get this bashing of generational wealth. You know, what does the opposite of that give us? If you don't have wealth to hand to your kids, what do they do? They are looking, and they're going to have to create wealth themselves. Well, how do they do that? About half the country thinks they get it from the government. That's a major problem. Should you be depending on your family members or depending on government? What they love, why Democrats love bashing generational wealth so much is because they know it creates generational dependence. And that's what they want. They want generational dependence. They want people to be doing this. This is why they stand up against so many of the same concepts that people used to love, the nuclear family, having more kids. They oppose those things because they want government dependence, not family dependence. There's nothing wrong with having some dependence on your family. That's what they're there for. You want to have a situation where you are doing what you can to put your family in a better situation. What's wrong with that? You know, I keep thinking about this over and over again. And like, I don't know, maybe we start considering encouraging this idea a little bit more. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, maybe keeping your family close is a better idea. Maybe like this idea that we have to keep sending kids out into the wilderness with nothing all the time. Maybe not the best concept. It's good that they work. You don't want to just hand it off. You don't want them never working in their lives. That doesn't create good citizens. But I don't know, maybe like working together as a family is not such a bad idea. But I guess they want us to go back to the government table over and over and over again. So that was, you also had the Michelle Obama black jobs comment that made really, that was probably the big highlight of the evening, because she said something like, well, maybe someone needs to tell him that the job he's striving for and seeking, maybe that's one of them black jobs, she said with this odd Southern accent. I don't know where, like, she's from Chicago. But that is like, that's the sass coming back. The sass is there. One of them black jobs. Now, what's funny about the black jobs controversy is what underlies it. Michelle Obama saying, one of the black jobs. And the concept here is obvious. Like, you know, Donald Trump's a racist. He just thinks they're black jobs. Those only black people can get those jobs. Now, of course, everyone understands what Donald Trump was saying here. Least of all, of course, you'd think there'd be no lack of understanding from the people who donate to the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and the National Association of Black Journalists. These people know exactly what they're talking about on the progressive side of the aisle. Progressives know exactly what they're doing here. They know that they're just abandoning all reason. An African-American job, would that make you feel better? I mean, look, black voters, they say black voters on television all the time, these exact same talking heads. And now Michelle Obama comes out and she says, it's one of those black jobs. What underlies that little zinger, what underlies that sick burn, is the idea that Donald Trump's record with African-American employment is far superior to her husband's. Kind of more important than whether you got the zinger in, isn't it? But again, if the American people fall for that, we're dead. Right? The country's dead. If you're so dumb, you're going to fall for that. Oh, she got a zinger in, instead of the fact that he actually improved the situation for black people who wanted jobs. Is that better? I don't know. Black people who wanted jobs, black voters who wanted employment, their employment situation improved vastly after Barack Obama left. Maybe that's a little bit more important than the zinger. I don't know. So we got another night of this nonsense tonight, day three. Here's what to expect. You got Bill Clinton. You got Nancy Pelosi, the person responsible for the coup in the Democratic Party, will be stepping up. The other one, largely responsible, spoke last night. So that's nice. And then, of course, Tim Walz, this joke of a guy. I mean, the Tim Walz thing is not going well. I don't think anybody can argue this. It felt good on Twitter. And when it feels good on Twitter, Democrats, you need to learn from this. That's not real life. Tim Walz is a catastrophe. He's a disaster. He has been terrible. The rollout has been very, very poor. And I think it's just going to get worse. I think his persona is going to really start grating on people. I think it's already begun. And the fact that he's lying all the time is also a problem. This is from Axios. Walz's gaffe factory, his words have been getting him in trouble for years. One of the latest examples of this is the fact that he went out and spoke constantly about IVF. Now, there's a lot going on here. The blame is, the Democrat or the Republicans don't want IVF. They hate families. They hate women. They don't want IVF treatments to be a thing. Now, this is not true. J.D. Vance, it was the one kind of charged with this initially. J.D. Vance does not oppose IVF. Donald Trump certainly does not oppose IVF. I'm not even honestly sure if he's really super pro-life. He has a very good pro-life record because of what he did with Supreme Court justices. But honestly, like, I don't think it's core to who he is. It's not a big topic for Donald Trump. And he's been, I think, kind of weak on it in this campaign for political reasons. It's not my favorite thing about this particular campaign, as I've outlined extensively on this program. I won't bore you with it again. But here is Tim Walz talking about IVF over and over and over again. Here's clip one.
Today's IVF day. Thank God for IVF. My wife and I have two beautiful children. He thinks he needs to dictate that. And I've been saying this, the golden rule that makes small towns work so we're not at each other's throats all the time in a little town is mind your own damn business.
It's infuriating. The last thing in the world the Democratic Party does is mind their own business. They are in every part of your business all the time. It is infuriating. But of course, he's also lying about IVF. Here he is saying it again.
Look, that includes IVF. And this gets personal for me and my family. When my wife and I decided to have children, we spent years going through infertility treatments. And I remember praying every night for a call for good news. The pit in my stomach when the phone rang, and the agony when we heard that the treatments hadn't worked. So it wasn't by chance that when we welcomed our daughter into the world, we named her Hope.
First of all, years and years of trying for a kid with that guy. Does Gwen Walz get just, you know, extra pay, time and a half? I feel terrible for her. But he also went on to lie about IVF again.
Yeah, well, first of all, it was up to him. I wouldn't have a family because of IVF and the things that we need to do reproductive. My kids were born through that direct, you know, that way. And also, I make sure that I'm the guys and our folks are investing in prenatal care.
Now, again, Donald Trump doesn't oppose IVF. He's lying about that, but he's also lying about himself. He did not have any children with IVF. He was lying about it the entire time. He had some fertility treatments that were different and also completely there's no opposition of them from anybody, at least not that I've heard. Certainly not Donald Trump. I don't even think he knows what it is. He's lying on every single front. Greg Price, put a list together of the update on the lies that Tim Walz has told so far. Being an Afghan veteran, he was not. Being a command sergeant major, he was not. Conceiving his children through IVF, he was not. Knowing his unit was being deployed, he did know that. Even though it wasn't official yet, he did know it. Carrying weapons into war, he didn't do that. Being a head football coach, he was an assistant coach. Lying about being deaf to get out of DUI, he was also lying there, of course. By the way, I was also a football coach. I was a defensive coordinator for a flag football team, but I was a football coach. There you go. Now I can be a vice president of the United States as well. I could add on a couple to Greg's list, by the way. For example, he also said that arrest records suggested his assertion that 80% of the people looting and burning the Twin Cities were from outside Minnesota. That was not true. In 2022, he was asked about the pandemic school closures. He said 80% of our students missed less than 10 days of in-class learning. That was a lie. In March of 2022, he told Axios his office would soon release a COVID after-action report as a playbook for future administration and future Minnesotans how to deal with the COVID thing or another future pandemic. He never did that. May of this year, he told reporters he had been texting late into the night about an infrastructure spending deal. That was a lie. It was a lie. It was a lie. It was a lie. It was a lie. They're all lies, and that's what you're going to see tonight. Lie after lie after lie after lie. I will remind you, we will be there to decode the lies right after his speech on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/Do It As America. Do that right now. Just do it right now. I'll wait. Just do it right now. And when you're there, click the follow button, click the bell for notifications. When you do that, you will be alerted when we go live. Don't miss it. It's been a lot of fun. A great community has been kind of gathering for these things. Lots of great questions, commentary back and forth on the speech and how much of a catastrophe it is. We'll do that tonight. youtube.com/Do Does America. And don't go anywhere. We have Glenn Beck coming up next. When President Biden dropped out, he told us that one of his top priorities was basically he's kind of a lame duck now. He can kind of go for whatever he wants, and he's going for pretty much everything. He wants to reform the Supreme Court. Now he's introduced us to his unconstitutional Biden plan. This is a plan that will end life tenure for justices and impose a binding code of ethics on the Supreme Court. Now, this is, it sounds okay, a code of ethics, why not? Well, that's unconstitutional, first of all, and there's a bunch of other problems with it. Biden's court reform scheme is nothing more than a desperate attack to end the legitimacy of the Supreme Court. His proposals are both unconstitutional and a threat to our republic. We've covered them in depth here, but you got to do something about this. The future of the Supreme Court depends on our response. That's why First Liberty, which is America's leading constitutional experts in protecting religious liberty, is asking you to join them and over 500,000 like-minded patriots in the fight against this brazen power grab. Join us in the fight to save the Supreme Court by adding your name in support of the Statement of Judicial Independence. It's time to say no to the Biden plan, no to court reform, no to the Supreme Court coup. For more information, add your name to the list. Please check out supremecoup.com, supremecoup.com. It's supremecoup.com/stew. Check it out now, supremecoup.com/stew.
Well, welcome back to my crappy show. I'm joined now by Glenn Beck, who is a marvel as a human being. He's almost Mother Teresa in pants. Many say he's Nostradamus without the rhymes. And he's got a brand new special out at 9 tonight. Tonight, it's We're Not Fighting Harris Walls this November. We're fighting globalism. So sure to make sure you stay tuned, because Glenn is going to be here in just a few minutes, and he joins me now. Thank you, Stu. Thank you.
I mean, that was as easy as I hoped it was, although about 40% of that copy wasn't actually in the intro. So I'm a little concerned about that. We can work on that maybe next week. Welcome to the program, Glenn Beck. That special is tonight, and it's a good one. I mean, you've got, I think looking a little deeper than, this vapid zilch in heels along with, some Midwestern folksy dad. Maybe it is a little bit important to go deeper than that.
Yeah, well, people think that they're, the media is shilling for Kamala because they just love the Democrats. But that's not true. This is a global effort, and it's not just about Kamala Harris. It is about the fundamental transformation of America and the entire West. We will show you by going to chalkboards. I got a lot of work to do on the chalkboards. We are going to take you back to 1940. And the beginning of the UN. And we're going to take you all the way here, and I'll show you how each year we have been building a global government, and we are now ready to transfer the power to the global government. And you're already seeing some of that by what you're seeing over in Europe with the silencing of people that are standing up for their country and just saying, hey, I think this immigration policy is really going to kill us. The spending is out of control. How come our politicians aren't listening to us? The problems are the same as they are here in America in every Western country. And the solutions that are being proposed by the governments are exactly the same solutions and the same responses. It's quite amazing when you really start to put it all together, and we're going to do that tonight.
You're going back to 1940, and you're going year by year. Your show is still just an hour.
No,
right?
No, it's not going year by year, but we're going to show you how each of these major things all tie together today, how the groundwork has been laid for 50 years.
Is this something that is coming from, some centralized source, or is it something that is maybe an effect of just this sort of groupthink among elites where they all are kind of pitching the same policies within whatever Overton window they've decided is appropriate?
So you could have said that a few years ago when the Davos crowd was just a gathering of people who were thinking alike. They still, the WEF still had an agenda, but I'm not sure that everybody understood that this is a global government that they are giving birth to. Now it is absolute marching orders. You wonder who's running the country. And some people will say, well, that's Barack Obama and his people. Well, no, it's really not. Because with the same language in our Congress and in the Parliament of Great Britain, the same exact laws with the same exact language is being passed. And it's happening in all of these countries. It's too much of a coincidence to say that it's just, we're all thinking alike.
Mm. The global part of this is really interesting, too. I was reading this new supposed proposal coming from Kamala Harris about annual capital gains taxes on your investments. Mm-hmm. So unrealized gains in which you haven't actually sold the stock, for example, but you have to pay tax on the profits anyway. And I was thinking about that, and going down the road of how would I even figure that out? How would I pay for that? I'd have to pay for it out of my savings, so I wouldn't. And I was just like, this seems like a good time to look at citizenship in another country.
However,
if it's global, there's nowhere to run, right?
Yeah, there's nowhere to run. And the United States passed a law 15 years ago, maybe, where if you're leaving, you still have to pay taxes on everything that you're taking out. And I don't think you can stop paying taxes for 10 years. It's draconian. But this is to impoverish America. If they pass that, Stu, what that'll mean is the American stock market and anybody who is holding stocks here in America will sell them. They will sell all of their investments. You will own nothing. Sound familiar? You'll own nothing because you can't figure that out. You can't afford to take it when it's not really a realized gain.
Yeah, outside of just going for something offshore, my thought, honestly, right away was I guess I'm just not going to invest in anything anymore. Something, maybe Bitcoin or something like that. But I'm not going anywhere near stocks if I'm going to have to. Even just the hassle of trying to figure it out all year. Your home is a great example.
Your home. Yeah. How are you going to pay the tax on the increase in the value of your home when, how are you going to figure it out? And how are you going to pay for it? You didn't sell your home. You pay taxes when you sell something. This unrealized gain is a absolute country and economy killer.
Mm. And it seems like something they want to implement all over the place. What else is part of this outside of just the economy? Because it never just stops there.
Well, you have to look at what's happening with immigration policy. This is insane policy. What we're seeing here in the United States is nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And nobody's ever done it before. But then again, why is every Western country in Europe doing exactly the same thing? Why are they all responding the same way? That you're a racist if you point this out, that you're a xenophobe or you're against Islam if you point this out. Terrorism is tearing countries apart. There's no assimilation at all. But we're all enacting the same exact policies, but only in the Western world. And we're responding exactly the same way. And the media is saying exactly the same things, whether it's in German, English, or French. Come on. How does that happen?
It does seem sort of obvious. Give me your thoughts on the DNC so far. Now, I know you have not actually stayed up late at night and watched all of this, which I think is the smart thing to do. But I know you followed it very closely. Have you been surprised by anything so far? Has this been kind of just run-of-the-mill convention, or is it worse than that?
Oh, no, I've been greatly surprised that last night was a bold vision for America, and they didn't articulate one. You know, just based on the number of times mentioned, I think they mentioned the border like 8 times, something like that. The economy, 22 times. But Donald Trump, like 147 times. So it leads me to believe that the bold vision for the future is Donald Trump. I mean, I don't. What else did they talk about more than that?
It's interesting because I think the Kamala Harris switch, let me run this theory by you. The Kamala Harris switch has allowed them to run the campaign they wanted to run, which was basically Donald Trump is bad. Don't let him be in control again. With Biden, it was so distracting that he was so old and so incoherent. And, you know, and the policies were part of the problem, but not the entire problem. Here, they're kind of able to go back to what they did in 2020 and run that same campaign, basically keep her in the basement and just point at Donald Trump the entire time.
Mm-hmm. And all without saying what this is really all about. I'm convinced, and I just don't think there's enough time to really articulate this and get people to understand it fast enough. Donald Trump is the only one that can stand in the way of this global government. He's the only way. That's why they hate America first. That's why they hated them the first time, and they'll do anything, including putting him in jail, to get him to not be the president this next time. They are at the closing act. We're, you know, 5 minutes away from the end of the play that has taken 50 years to put together. And he can come in and throw monkey wrenches into the entire system. He can't win. He cannot win if you're from the left and you're thinking like a globalist. You stop him no matter what it takes. And if people understood Orange Man bad, they lie about him over and over and over again. You may not like him. You may not agree with everything. But notice nobody will even accurately reflect any of his policies. Nobody will talk about anything. There's nothing that man did that was good. Even though he brought world peace and peace to the Middle East, he stopped wars. We had the best economy we've had in like 150 years. None of that can be mentioned. They have to make him into Hitler, because if he wins, the globalization stops. That's what this election's all about.
What do you think the odds are of them actually putting him in prison in September when he's sentenced? Do you think that actually happens?
Yeah, I think it does. I think they
above 50%.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not willing to, you know, make a bet on that one. But yeah, I think it's above 50%. Stu, they cannot allow him to win. Now, if they're smart, they will know that that will make it more likely that he will win. So if they don't put him in jail, it's only because they realize that was a bad scheme. Mm-hmm. And they'll just delay it. But if he makes a decision in September, I think they're going to try to put him in jail. I think they will order him to go to jail.
Yeah, I feel like it's more likely if Kamala's behind. Like, if she's where she is now, even or ahead, I think it's less likely. But if she's down by 4 or 5 points, I think they'll try pretty much anything.
Or if you just want chaos.
Yeah. Last one here for you, Glenn. And this is I don't have the quote in front of me, but I think it might be one of the most important quotes that I've seen in this election cycle, which was from Ed Markey. He's the, very hardcore leftist from Massachusetts, a senator, major climate extremist. And they asked him, they said, hey, you know, basically, like, Kamala hasn't released any plans. She's not even talking about the climate. Does that make you nervous? And he said, no, I think it's in her DNA to be a climate warrior, but her first job here is to win. And I was like, That is such a revealing moment. Like, they're telling us in advance she's going to run, try to seem as normal as possible, but once she gets in, she's going for it. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if they could get it so she does not articulate any policy whatsoever, they'll do that just to get her to win. But America needs to understand she won't be running the country, but she believes in this. Joe Biden didn't actually believe in all of this stuff, but they got him as, you know, somebody who is senile. She believes in this stuff and has no credibility overseas. It will be the end of the America that we understand. We'll be America in name, but we won't be America with the Constitution that we have always had, with the Bill of Rights that we have always had. They'll keep it around as a set decoration piece. But she is hardcore left and to the point of guaranteed socialist, questionable communist. Mm.
And this, by the way, exactly what Walz did when he came in as Minnesota governor. Mm-hmm. So it's less of a morning in America, more of a night-night for America.
Yes, more of a last call.
Closing time. Yeah. All right, Glenn Beck, news specialist coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. It is We're Not Fighting Harris Walz this November. We're fighting globalism. Be sure to stay tuned. And as always, check it out on your Blaze TV account. Go to blazetv.com/stew. Use the promo code stew and you will save $20. Glenn, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
You know, if you have a different fight in your life right now, not necessarily Harris Walz or globalism, but crappy real estate agents, you're going to want to go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Now, the man we just spoke to, Mr. Glenn Beck, is the person who founded this company, was it 10, 15 years ago now? It's been a very big success because really there was nothing around that could do this. Like, you, there was no way to know if your real estate agent was good or not. So he started this company to kind of give you a way to navigate that process. Look, you could go and you could do 25 interviews with 25 different real estate agents in your area and, you know, spend hours and hours with them and really go through that process. Who's going to do that, though? Nobody. You just take the first person that's in front of you, whether it's a friend or a cousin or the person you just find on the listing on the website. That's not the right way to pick somebody. You need to do a little bit more research than that. You probably don't have time for that. That's why realestateagentsitrust.com exists. They do all the work for you. The name sort of says it all, realestateagentsitrust.com. It's a free service to you. Check it out today, realestateagentsitrust.com. One thing you can say about Donald Trump, and whether you like him or not, is that he is able to wrestle the media coverage, and he's constantly on TV, he's constantly being covered. And you think with the events of what's gone on, you know, he knocked his opponent out of the race, he was almost killed on stage, this would probably be the peak of his media coverage. The exact opposite is true, of course. A new study from Newsbusters, networks deliver massive media honeymoon to Kamala Harris. Not only has Harris received 66% more airtime than Trump. I mean, think about that. When did you ever say that about Donald Trump? Even when the coverage is just negative on Trump, they always cover him more. Nope, 66% more coverage of Harris than Trump. The spin on Harris's coverage has been more positive, 84% positive, than any other major party nominee ever, as long as they've been doing these numbers. I mean, it's basically the century, right? Any other major party nominee ever, 84% positive. Donald Trump's coverage in that time. Remember, we're talking about a time where he defeated his opponent in a debate so badly the opponent dropped out and he was almost killed on stage. You'd think you'd get some positive coverage through that. No, 89% negative. So she's 84% positive. He's 89% negative. And she's closed the gap like 3 points in the polls. I wouldn't be thrilled with that, honestly, if I were a Democrat, but that's the state of where we are right now. By the way, Tim Walz, who's speaking again tonight, will again be on live, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica, right after the speech. As the clapping's happening, we will be there telling you why it's dumb for them to clap. But Tim Walz, basically same amount of airtime as J.D. Vance, but 62% positive for Walz, 92% negative for Vance. So you've been watching, or at least reading about the Democratic National Convention, and one of the things you've been seeing over and over again is this healthcare situation. Over and over again, they keep saying, oh, we want to keep government out of your room when you're doing healthcare. Now, the only time they say that is when they're talking about one thing. What is it? Abortion, right? That's the only time they don't want the government inside of your healthcare. So how do you actually solve this problem? Let's say you're taking that seriously and you don't want government making health decisions for you. I know I don't. How about Lassie? Lassie Health is here. They can shake things up for you. L-A-A-S-Y, Lassie Health. It's not health insurance. It's access to the health care you want without all the red tape, restrictions, and inflated costs. Coverage costs starts at just $30 a month. $30 a month. I mean, I don't know what you're paying for health insurance. If it's through Obamacare, I can guarantee it's a lot more than that. You get transparent pricing, comprehensive coverage tailored to your needs, and access to health care services without breaking the bank. Again, this isn't insurance, and there's no annual or lifetime caps on services. You can start a plan. You can pay at any time. You'll get over 400 prescription medications for free. Free, unlimited virtual mental health counseling. Free 24/7 virtual urgent care. I just had to do a virtual urgent care service. It ain't free unless you have Lassie Health, I'll tell you that. Lab tests up to 60% off. Imaging tests up to 75% off. Procedures, surgeries over 50% off. Lassie Health is a game changer. Check out affordable plans that put you in control of your health care at healthylink.com/stew. Healthylink.com/stew. That's how you get Lassie Health. For a limited time, you can get your first month free up to $100 off eligible plans. Get healthy, be healthy, stay healthy without breaking the bank and dealing with government. It's healthylink.com/stew, healthylink.com/stew for Lassie Health. I've got about a minute to get through a couple of important stories I want to get to. A Biden approved a secret nuclear strategy refocusing on the Chinese threat. This is from the New York Times. Happened in early March. The new strategy emphasizes the need to deter Russia, China, and North Korea simultaneously. Now, that I think the plan, I mean, that's certainly the right approach. I'm just worried about this guy being involved in it. I mean, Joe Biden. Really? Like, hopefully just somebody smart put this together and not him. I'm a little nervous about that, but I don't know. Maybe leave any new things. If you got any new ideas, Joe, leave them to the side. Let the next person handle that. Whoever it is, it would be better than you. And finally, RFK Jr. is now dropping out of the U.S. presidential bid to join forces with Trump. One thing that has been undercovered, and we've talked about it, is the RFK factor, which for a long time hurt Biden more than Trump. Since Harris has come in, that has reversed. The people who were on the fence between Biden and RFK and were going RFK's way have bailed on RFK and went to Harris. So right now, this is really hurting Trump. It's one of the big reasons why Harris has essentially been able to make this race a lot more narrow. These are RFK people that came back to Harris. If RFK drops out and he endorses Donald Trump, good chance a good portion of those people go over to Trump, and that's going to be very good for him. So this is actually a massive development. We will see if it comes to fruition. Mark your calendars, because Thursday, yeah, the 22nd. What's that? Tomorrow? Is that tomorrow? Oh, my God. Tomorrow night. It's going to be a night you don't want to miss. 9 p.m. sharp. Blaze News Tonight is going live and commercial free with a little roast session to follow, a DNC roast. We've got a powerhouse lineup ready to bring the heat. Hear a post-speech analysis with Glenn Beck, and stick around for the roast featuring Dave Landau, Alex Stein, Sarah Gonzalez, myself, and Bridget Fetisee. It's going to be a great group. Together, we will be counting just how many cocktails Kamala's had before she hits the stage. And trust me, results are going to be very, very funny. I will say, I think we're going to be on, like, doing commentary during the speech, too. I'm not 100% sure. Is that true? I think so. That's at least what I'm going to be doing. Whether you hear it or not, I don't know. Blaze Media is going to give you the right way to watch this. Just pain-free, hopefully. The DNC, a roast coming up Thursday night at 9. Don't miss it. I'll be there. You should be there, too.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons. Oder, Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes.